ಅಥವಾ ಇದ್ದಾರೆ ಇದ್ದಾರೆ. ಜಯ ರಾಧ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರ ಧಾರಿ ಅಧ ಮಾಧ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದ ಜಮುನ ತೀರಾವನ ಚಾರಿ ಜಮುನ ತೀರಾವನ ಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರ ಧಾರಿ ಜಯ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ಜಯೋ ಜಯೋ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ 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 ಜಯೋ ಜಯೋ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಶ್ರೀಹರಿ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ನಿತಾಯ ಗೌರ ಪ್ರೇಮನಂದೇ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ Hare Krishna. So today morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter number 25, Text number 45. We'll be covering series of 10 verses, maybe till text 55. So let's recite the verse. Saptopari krita dvara ಪುರಸ್ತಸ್ಯಸ್ತು ದ್ವೇ ಅದ ಪೃಥಕ್ ವಿಷಯಗತಿ ಅರ್ಥಂ ತಸ್ಯಂ ಯಾ ಕಶ್ಚನೇಶ್ವರ ಸಪ್ತೋಪರಿ ಕೃತ ದ್ವಾರಾ Purastasya stutve ada prathak vishayagati artham tasyam ya kaschaneshvara sapto parikrita dvara purastasya stutve ada prathak vishayagati artham tasyam ya kaschaneshvara. To parikrita dvara Vishayagati artham Matajis Sapto Parikrata Dvara Purastasya Sture Dada Sapta, seven. Upari, up. Krata, made. Dvara, gates. Pura, of the city. Tasya, that. Tu, then. Dve, two. Ada, down. Prathak, different. Vishaya, to places. Gatiyartham, for going. Tasyam, in that city. Ya, one who. Kaschana, whoever. Ishvara, governor. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki chai. Translation. Of the nine gates in that city, seven were on the surface and two were subterranean. A total of nine doors were constructed and these led to different places. All the gates were used by the city's governor. Purport. The seven gates of the body that are situated upwards are the two eyes, two nostrils, two ears and one mouth. The two subterranean gates are the rectum and the genitals. The king or the ruler of the body, who is the living entity, uses all these doors to enjoy different types of material pleasures. The system of opening different gates to the different places is still evident in the old Indian cities. Formerly, a capital was surrounded by the walls and one passed through the various gates to go to the various cities of or towards specific direction. In old Delhi, there are still remnants of surrounding walls and various gates known as Kashmiri Gate, the Lahori Gate, etc. Similarly, in Ahmedabad, there is a Delhi Gate. The point of this simile is that the living entity wants to enjoy different types of material opulences, and to this end, nature has given him various holes in their body that he can utilize for sense enjoyment. Text 46, we'll just read the translation and see the purport. My dear king, of the nine doors, five led towards the eastern side, one led towards the northern side, one led towards the southern side, and two led towards the western side. I shall try to give the names of these different doors. Purport. Of the seven doors on the surface, namely the two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, one mouth, 5 look forward, and these are described as the doors facing the eastern side. Since looking forward means seeing the sun, these are described as the eastern gate for the sun rising in the east. The gate on the northern side and the gate on the southern side represents the 2 ears, and the 2 gates facing the western side represents the rectum and the genitals. All the doors and the gates are described below. Text 27, translation. The 2 gates named the Khadyota and Avirmukha were situated facing the eastern side, but they were constructed in one place. Through those 2 gates, the king used to go to the city of Vibhrijit, accompanied by a friend whose name was Dhuman. Purport. The 2 names Khadyota and Avirmukhi means glowworm and torchlight. This indicates that of all the 2 eyes, of the 2 eyes, the left eye is less powerful in its ability to see. Although both eyes are constructed in one place, one is stronger than the other in the power to see. The king or the living entity uses these 2 gates to see things properly, but he cannot see unless accompanied by a friend whose name is Dhuman. This friend is the sun. Although the 2 eyes are situated in one place, they have no power to see without the sunlight. Vibhrijit Janapadam. If one wants to see something very clearly, that is Vibhrijit, he must see it with the 2 eyes and the assistance of his friends, the sunlight. Within this body, everyone is a king because he uses his different gates according to his own will. Although he is very much proud of his power to see or hear, he is nonetheless dependent on the assistance of the nature. Text 48. Similarly, in the east, there were 2 sets of gates, namely Nalini and Nalini. And these were also constructed in one place. Through these gates, the king, accompanied by a friend called Avadhut, used to go to the city of Saurabha. Purport. The 2 gates named Nalini and Nalini are the 2 nostrils. The living entity enjoys these 2 gates with the help of different avadhutas or air, which constitute the breathing process. Through these gates, the living entity goes to the town of Saurabha or Aroma. In other words, the nostril, with the help of their friend, the air, enjoy various aromas in the material world. Nalini and Nalini are the pipes of the nostrils through which one inhales and exhales, enjoying the aroma of the sense pleasure. Text 49. The fifth gate situated on the eastern side was named as Mukhya or the chief. Through this gate, accompanied by his friends named Rasagna and Vipana, he used to visit 2 places, namely Bahudana and Apana. Purport. The mouth is here described as the chief or the most important gate. The mouth is very important entrance because one has 2 functions to conduct with the mouth. One function is eating, another is speaking. Our eating is done with the friend Rasagna, the tongue, which can taste so many different types of food. The tongue is also used for speaking, and it can speak of either material sense enjoyment or Vedic knowledge. Of course, here material sense enjoyments is stressed. Therefore, the word Rasagna is used. Text 50, translation. The southern gate of the city was known as Pitruhu, and therefore the gate of King Puranjan used to visit the city named Dakshina Panchala, accompanied by his friend Shutadhara. Purport. The right ear is used for karma kandiya or fruitive activities. As long as one is attached to the enjoyment of the material resources, he hears from the right ears and uses the 5 senses to elevate himself to the higher planetary system like Pitruloka. Consequently, the right ear is here described in the Pitru gate. Text 51, translation. On the northern side was the gate named Devahu. Through that gate, King Puranjan used to go with his friend Shrutadhara to the place known as Uttara Panchal. So, We'll just read the translation of other two verses because the purports are a little bigger. Translation, text 52. On the western side was a gate named Asuri. Through that gate, King Puranjan used to go to the city of Gramaka, accompanied by his friend Durmada. Text 53, translation. Another gate on the western side was known as Niruti. Puranjan used to go through this gate to the place known as Vaisasa, accompanied by his friend Lubdhaka. Text 54, per translation. Of the many inhabitants of the city, there are two persons named Nirvaka and Pisakrit. Although King Puranjan was the ruler of the citizen who possesses eyes, he unfortunately used to associate with this blind man. Accompanied by him, he used to go here and there and perform various activities. In the last verse, we'll discuss and translation, text 55. Sometimes he used to go to his private home with one of his chief servants, the mind, who was named as Visusina. At that time, illusion, satisfaction, happiness used to be produced from his wife and children. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Shri Yuta Padakambalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Nitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lita Shri Vishakam Nitamscha E Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhai Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, I welcome all of you to the morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, chapter number 25, and we are covering the verses from text 45 to 55. The chapter is entitled as Descriptions of the Characteristics of Puranjan. So, just to give you a background, what is happening is that in the last chapter, you know, the Prachetas, who are the son of the king, Prachini Barishat, they are glorifying Lord Shiva and Lord Shiva is pleased with them. And then exactly after speaking about the Prachetas, who are great devotees, you know, the topic comes about who is their father. And his father was a king called Prachini Barishat. Now Prachini Barishat was a very famous king who was entangled in fruitive activities and material enjoyment and sense gratification. So Narad Muni, who is a Paramahamsa Vaishnava, a great devotee, he is thinking that I delivered Dhruva Maharaj. And Dhruva Maharaj, some of his descendants also. And Parachini Parishad comes in that dynasty. So he's thinking, in future he's going to deliver Prachetas also. But then he felt that, you know, if I have delivered Dhruva Maharaj, I have given him his association, and he was the one who actually helped him to advance his guru. So he felt that I should help this king. And that is actually the causeless mercy of a sadhu. Right? You know, what was the need for Narad Muni? You know, sometimes we try to serve somebody. We feel that if I serve somebody, then he will serve me somewhere. Right? When somebody you meet and you try to give him some prasad. But then in back of the mind, sometimes we feel, okay, when I go to this place, he should give me something. Right? So many times our seva is motivated. But here in great devotees, their services are unmotivated and uninterrupted. So we see here Narad Muni, such a great Vaishnava. There was no need actually to go and deliver this king. But then he felt that, you know, I should help. Same happened, you know, when Narad Muni was actually traveling in a forest. And while traveling in the forest, he saw that some animals were struggling and they were in pain. They were actually not killed, they are half killed. You know, sometimes you kill somebody, the animal is died. But you kill in such a way that the animal, you know, has so much pain and is struggling, and then finally after dies a painful death. So Narad Muni, seeing the situation of the animals, he felt great compassion, not just for the animals but for the killer as well. Right? If an ordinary person like us, we walk, mar gaya kya? Theek hai. We'll go ahead. We will not bother to see, oh, what happened. And how many of us bother that who did this to him? But here in Narad Muni, such a great devotee, he is thinking more compassionate, more than animal, he is compassionate on the person who did that. So he is compassionate and he is showing his compassion towards the hunter. I think it was Mrigari. And he is saying that he is causing so much pain to animals, how much he has to suffer. So he goes and finds out Mrigari. And he tells Mrigari, you know what you are doing and you know what reactions you are going to get. And he said, no, what are you telling? I am just doing it for my living. And then Narad Muni gives him the first PowerPoint presentation. By his mystic powers, he shows him that what all he is going to suffer. And then seeing the horrible consequences of what he is doing, immediately he understands. And then his life is transformed. And he went on to become a great devotee. And in future, when somebody else, you know, comes along with Narad Muni, I think it was Parvat Muni. And that time, seeing his guru, he goes and runs, but he doesn't offer Dandavat Pranam. So his friend, Parvat Muni, he says that, come on, are you not taught the etiquette? When you see your guru, you should fall like a stick, like Dandavat. He said, I am about to fall, but there was a lot of ants. How can I kill ants? They are also living beings. So that was the transformation of Mrigari. So same, causeless mercy shown by Narad Muni. So Narad Muni is meeting this king, King Prachini Parishad. So now, sometimes a person is so much engrossed in material activities. Sometimes you tell him that, you know, you are a fool. What are you doing? Chodo ye sab. Kya kar rahe ho? So sometimes the person may not be ready. So then Narad Muni is an expert preacher. Narad Muni is giving an allegory story. He's telling a story, you know, let me tell you a story. There was a city of 9 gates. 9 gates, it has 9 holes, you know. And then was this and that. We described in details, we read. So while reading, many of you might be saying, what is this Nalini and Avadhuta and all this. But he is giving an allegorical story to explain that, okay, actually the story is of you. You are the person who is enjoying in this city. Basically, the city of nine holes is the body. So you are the person who is actually enjoying, you're trying to, do all this. But at the end, all your efforts are futile because this material world is temporary. At the end, after 3-4 chapters, finally he understands that actually it is me, and Narad Muni is trying to instruct me. So that's the whole allegorical story which is described. But of course, it's quite technical to understand. But we'll just summarize what all things has been described today. So herein, it is described that the city of nine gates has been described. Then different holes of the body, as you know, we have different holes, two eyes, nostrils, right, mouth, and the other genitals and the rectum. So the holes of the body, what is it describing? And then the sense object and the accompanying friend, right? Like for example, here it is described, the word comes as khadyota. Khadyota means a glowworm. And now it is described, which is connected, which hole of the body? It is the left eye. Now left eye is considered less powerful, right? And then what is the right eye? The avirmukhi, which is the torchlight. So now glowworm and the torchlight are khadyota and avirmukhi. And the right eye is considered little more powerful. Now what is the sense object? Vibrajit is the sense object, the form. Because from eyes you see a form, right? And if it is beautiful, we are attracted. If it is bad, we are not attracted. Just like if there is a garbage lying here, we may not be attracted. But if it is a beautiful lotus pond, the eyes will be attracted. So that is Vibrajit, the form. Right? And Dhuman is referred to eye and also sun. Because just imagine there is a beautiful pond, but there is no sunlight. What will we see? So that is the sun. Then another allegory is described as Nalini and Nalini. Nalini is considered as the two nostrils, that is to inhale, exhale and smell. And the sense object is of course the smell, and it is described as Saurabha. And then what is the accompanying friend? The nose, which is called as the Avadhuta. Similarly, Mukhya, which is like the chief gate. And Mukhya here is referred as mouth. And mouth is used for eating and speaking. And Prabhupada writes that, we should, as far as possible, we should eat foodstuffs which are offered to Krishna and speak only related to Krishna. Right? And what is the sense object? That is the eatable apana, that is bahudana. And what is the accompanying friend by which senses we eat? The tongue. Right? And the teeth, of course. But the tongue is a taste aspect. Right? And the voice aspect is vipana. Then comes the prithahu. Prithahu refers to right ear. For karma kanda elevates to pitralok. Because right ear is prithu. And what is the left ear? Devahu. Devahu here is described as left ear, and it signifies jnana kanda. Jnana kanda is for elevation to the higher planets like Swarga and others. And what are the sense objects? That is Dakshina Panchal, that is Pravritti scriptures, and Uttara Panchal, that is Nivritti, right? Nivritti scriptures. And what is the accompanying friend? That is Shrutadhara, that is ear. Ear is the aspect by which we hear. And of course, the two subterranean gates, which are described in the purport which we read. Asuri and Nivritti. Asuri is genitals, Nivritti is rectum. And what are the activities of genitals? Sex life. And rectum is Vishasha, that is painful. And accompanying friend is Durmada, because sex life is considered as, mother or madness. And Ludapta is greed. So this has been described. Of course, it may sound technical, but we'll try to understand in a simpler manner. So yes, allegorical story has been described here, because, you know, as I told you, many times we try to tell somebody, but a person is not ready to listen, or he may not reciprocate in a proper way. So that's why Narad Muni, considering or being an expert preacher, is trying to, you know, explain in that way. Sometimes I tell this story, you know, one time there was one friend, and his another friend, he was a chain smoker. So now, every time he used to tell him, you know, please, stop smoking. And he used to say, hey, how can I give up? So then he said, come, we'll go to a sadhu. He's giving a lecture. He said, I'm not interested. But he said, no, please come. So then that sadhu was giving a class, and these two friends, they came. So the sadhu was speaking something, and then finally, while concluding the class, he was speaking. Everybody knows that there are three benefits of smoking. Now this person who was, you know, dozing off, as soon as he heard three benefits of smoking, he told his friend, go, bola tha na? I told you that smoking is good. The other friend was shocked, and he said, let me hear. So then the person said that one who smokes, the first benefit is that he never becomes old. He said, really? That smoking never makes me old? Wow, what is perfect. Then he said, the second benefit of smoking is, that the dog will never bite you. He said, that is great, because every time I walk, the dogs are barking at me. How can, I didn't know this. He said, great. And then he started taking notes. Now anybody telling him that stop smoking, he can give a lecture. Then comes the third point. He said, the third and the final benefit of smoking is that anybody who smokes, no thief can come at his house. He said, this is great. You smoke also and nobody can steal anything. So, wow, that's amazing. So then the friend who was sitting, he couldn't digest. So he said, I didn't understand. What is, you cannot get old. Nobody will come and steal. And, you know, dog will not come. So he asked a question. Sadhu Maharaj, please clarify. We want to understand in detail. He said, the first benefit was that he will never get old, because he smokes so much that he'll die young only. So how will he become old? Because he'll die in youth. So that was the first thing. That was the first shock for that person. Then the second thing is that the dog will never bite you. Because as soon as a dog comes to bite you or bark at you, he'll see in your hand there's a fire. There's smoke coming out. And as soon as he sees the smoke, the dog becomes, you know, afraid that he has a smoke or a fire is in his hand. He'll hurt me. And the last thing is that there'll be never theft at your house. The thief will never come. Because when a person is sleeping, and because of smoking, his lungs will be damaged, and he'll be coughing whole night. And because he's coughing whole night, even if the thief comes, he'll see, he's awake. What if he catches me? So there'll be always, you know, no theft as far as possible. So after hearing that, the person could understand, oh my God, if I die young, if you know, my lungs will be damaged, and if all this happens, better I quit smoking. So now the person, his friend told him so many times, he didn't listen. But when it is spoken in a nice allegorical way, he could understand, oh, actually this is the point. So that is the power of allegorical stories. So Vishwanath Chakrathakur, in his commentary, he describes that there are different stages a person does sense gratification. And there are different stages. The first stage is the stage of avidya. Why person does indulge in sense gratification? Because avidya means he's in ignorance. Because he has forgotten Krishna. He has forgotten that I am the part and parcel of Krishna. So because of that there is avidya, he feels that okay, I should do this. Then the second stage is the stage of asmita. Asmita is a stage where he feels that of course, he has forgotten Krishna, but asmita is a stage where he is false identity. He is feeling, I am not part and parcel of Krishna. I am this body. I am this. I am chartered accountant. I am this. I am that. I am the owner. I am the controller of this place. This belongs to me. So he is attached. Then the third aspect is the raga or the attachment. When you have false identity that this belongs to me, that leads to raga, which is attachment. And attachments for senses and the sense objects. Then comes the dvesh. Now, how do you define dvesh? Dvesh means when somebody tries to hinder in your sense gratification, that is dvesh. Now you are attached for this phone and somebody takes this phone, you become dvesh. Right? Somebody hinders your sense objects or sense gratification, that is dvesh. And the last is abhinivesh. Because of all this attachment, because of the false identity, because of the avidya, because of the asmita, the last aspect is abhinivesh, which is absorption in sense gratification. So the absorption is such a state that, you are so much absorbed that you don't know that this is wrong. The example Prabhupada gives of a stool-eating hog. We see a hog. Now Prabhupada gives you given the first class butter halwa, but he will prefer to eat the stool. Why? Because he is so much absorbed in that activity. Similarly, many times our condition may be that we know that this is best, but we are indulged in so many other activities. So herein we see, of course, the whole chapter describes in details about allegorical story and about the senses. So what are we supposed to do? Right? So in the Puranas, there is a beautiful verse which describes the power of sense gratification or the power of sense indulgence. Kuranga matanga patanga bringa meena hata pancha bhireva pancha eka pramadi sakatham nahanyate ye sevate pancha bhi eva pancha. So there are five senses, everybody knows, right? And each animal, there are animals who give up their body just by one senses. So the verse described, if one senses can be so dangerous, what to speak of a person indulging all the five senses? So the example is given of Kuranga. Kuranga is a deer. Now how deer are captured, A deer is captured by sweet sound by the hunter. A hunter plays a nice instrument, a horn or a flute, and the deer is extraordinarily enamored and it runs here and there. What is that sound? What is the sound? And finally is captured. So that is Kuranga, and sometimes killed. Then comes elephant, that is Matanga. Now how elephant is captured? So the hunter, he has a she elephant, and the she elephant is trained to go and give a touch, a sensation. It will go and touch or rub the body towards the he elephant, and as soon as that is done, she starts running and the elephant starts running, and finally a place comes where there is a hole. The elephant falls in that big dig or a pit and is captured. So that sense of touch can create so much problem. Then the third thing is described as patanga. Patanga is like a moth. Now, many times in the night we see, you know, so many moths, they're attracted to the light, right? Sometimes there are this glow worms or the fire worms, they actually go inside the fire, right? So, with the eyes, they feel that, you know, this is for us, and then that sense of their eyes, that is creating an issue for them. And then is bringa. Bringa is the honeybee. What is bring? Bumblebee. So now the bumblebee is attracted to the smell of the lotus flower. And it goes from lotus to lotus to extract that nectar. But it absorbs so much in that smell and enjoying that it forgets that now the time is, the lotus is going to close. And this poor bumblebee dies because of that. And the last is meena. Meena is fish. Now how fish is attracted? The fisherman puts a nice bait and puts it there. And then the fish, although by Krishna's arrangement, he gets the food from the water itself. But then he sees something special. Today is special feast, Sunday feast. So the fish is attracted. And as soon as he tries to put, the fisherman catches it. So that has been described in this Puranic verse. Kuranga matanga patanga bringa meena hata pancha bhireva pancha eka pramadi sakatham nahanyate eva sevati pancha bhi eva pancha. So just imagine one senses can kill somebody. What to talk of human beings who is enjoying, try to enjoy all the five senses to the fullest extent, and what is going to happen? That has been described. So, of course, we know the senses are there and we know there are distractions. Even I am struggling. But the point is how, what to do? So the best thing is to Krishnafy, you know, to Krishna, to use it in Krishna's service. And the best example is Amrish Maharaj. Amrish Maharaj in the 9th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam is speaking this beautiful verse. What are we supposed to do? Save mana Krishna padaravinda yo vachamsi vaikunta gunanu varnane karor harer mandir marjana dishu shutim chakra shuta achyuta sat kathodaya. So Maharaj Amrish says we should engage his mind in meditating upon the lotus feet of the Lord Krishna. His words in describing the glories of the Lord. His hands in cleaning the temple of the Lord. His ears in hearing the words spoken by Lord Krishna. He engages his eyes in seeing the deity of the Lord. And he uses his legs for going to dham, you know, parikrama. He uses his head to offer obeisances, right? And then tongue for tasting prasad, nose for smelling the nirmalya, the tulsi, or the flowers, like that. So we have beautiful examples in the shastras. Like who are the devotees who focus their mind on the lotus feet of Krishna? Any examples? The gopis were the example. They were constantly thinking of Krishna, right? Every moment they were thinking of Krishna. In fact, few days back we celebrated the Sharad Purnima festival. As soon as they hear the sound, they could remember that Krishna is calling us. And it is described that the gopis, they were actually with their children, they were with their husband, they were with their in-laws. But they were always meditating Krishna. And it, in fact, there's described, you know, one gopi, she was actually serving, you know, her father-in-law. And actually, you know, she, in the plate, rather than putting puri or kheer, she put, you know, the chara of the cow. You know, the food for the cow, the fodder for the cow. And to cows, she fed puri and kheer. And we described in the Sharad Purnima festival that somewhere they actually forget to, you know, put, you know, they were actually decorating themselves. Some left that. Some by mistake can wear the upper cloth by mistake. You know, so that was the absorption. So that's the focusing on the mind, right? Then the eyes, somebody who by seeing the beautiful form of the Lord, he got transformed. We have the example of Dhanurdas, disciple of Shripad Ramanujacharya, who was attracted by his would-be wife. But then Ramanujacharya told that, if I show you something beautiful, would you surrender? And he saw the beautiful eyes of Lord Ranganath. And here, we should hear Krishna Katha. And the Bhagavatam is full about the pastime of how Krishna Katha is so powerful. And we have the example of Rukmini. Mother Rukmini Devi, she never heard, or she never saw Krishna actually. The only thing she heard about Krishna's glories. And that attracted her so much that she wrote the first love letter in the history. And she wrote in detail that, Krishna, you know, I want to marry you. Krishna, I want to serve you. I want to become your servant of the servant of the servant. And then Krishna, hearing that letter, Krishna comes all the way and Krishna later on marries Rukmini. So that is the glory of the Krishna Katha, hearing Krishna Katha, right? And then we have also the example of Brahman Patnis. In the 10th canto, there is a pastime that the Brahmanas, they were offering different foodstuff, and Krishna Balaram comes and they say that we are hungry. They say, no, no, we don't have anything. And they goes to their wife. Now, the wife come to know that, you know, we have been hearing about Krishna, and today Krishna is asking for food, and how can we not give? To help with our family members, we are there to serve Krishna. And that is the glory of Shravanam. And of course, tongue. You know, prasadam. How much powerful is the power of prasadam? I think this is Srila Prabhupada's pastime, na? Shruti Kirti Prabhu always tells that he was in a flight with Prabhupada and Prabhupada was hungry. And Prabhupada said, what is there? He said, there's some mudi, kurmura. And Prabhupada started eating and there was an air hostess. He said, what can I get for you? And Prabhupada said, no, we are fine. He said, come on, Swamiji, tell me something. I can get you something. He said, nothing. And then somehow, this air hostess, she saw that Prabhupada was eating something. And she actually put her hand and she ate it. And she was very kind to Prabhupada. So she gave him some juice or something like that. And they had a nice exchange. And after years, she found out that she became a devotee. One devotee went to actually distribute a book and knocked at the door, and she opened and she told that actually I ate from Prabhupada's plate, and she became actually a devotee. So that's the power of Mahaprasad. And offering obeisances, we have the example of Raghunath Das Goswami, who used to offer 1,000 dandavats every day. When I come to temple to offer one dandavat, sometimes it's difficult. But 1,000 dandavats, right? Hand, we should use for cleaning. Mandira marjanadu, maha cleaning. And the best example is none other than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gundicha marjan, personally cleaning. And there was a transcendental competition that whoever accumulates more dirt, he'll be the winner. So Mahaprabhu personally used to, you know, clean the temple. And then we have the example of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the feet, what is the feet should be used for doing parikrama or dham yatras? Many devotees are going for dham yatra, which is also one of the main angas of bhakti. And Sanatana Goswami, the acharya, he used to do every day Govardhan Parikrama. Every day. We have some devotees who do everyday Govardhan Parikrama here. So, Sanatan Goswami used to do the 34 kilometer bigger Parikrama, which has Surya Kund, Petha, and Abhithagaon and all of that places. And to some to that extent that, you know, Krishna has to tell him that now you're old. Bahut ho gaya, bahut parikrama kiya. Now, take rest. He said, no, how can I stop? And Krishna actually put his foot on one of the shilas of Govardhan. And then, you know, Krishna tells him that just do 4 of this parikrama. And that shila is still in Radha Damodar, right? So, that's there. And the last is desire. That we should desire to always be the servant of the servant of the servant. And the example is of Vrittasur. Vrittasur is praying, Aham Harer Daseva Mulo, Dasanu Daso. So that should be our attitude, become the servant of the servant of the servant. So that was all which I wanted to speak. And this month is a very auspicious month of Kartik. So I thought we'll just share something about this special month of Kartik. In fact, every year, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, whenever he gives class on the first day of Kartik, it was a custom that he will summarize the whole month of Kartik, the different activities and the pastimes of which happened in this month. So, Kartik is a very, very special month. You know, it is a very, very beautiful month, very dear to Krishna, right? Actually, it is said that Krishna appears in every yuga. He appears as a yuga avatar. Then Krishna appears, in every yuga, also as he comes as Arch avatar also in the form of deity. So we can actually reciprocate in that form as the Arch avatar. Then Krishna comes in Dham form. You know, Dham is also non-different than Krishna. You can actually go to Dham and experience His presence there. Then He comes as Grantha. You know, you can read what is the glory of Krishna through the Dhamma. Even if a person doesn't do that, then there are devotees who talks about Krishna. Right? But apart from all of that, Krishna also appears in the form of Tithi. Like Tithis like, you know, Ekadashi, Janmashtami, Gaur Purnima. They are actually the potency form of the Lord. They are actually, in one sense, His mercy form. Because that's why, on that day, you know, what is that Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu, that verse? They are called as the Bhakti Janani. Right? So, similarly, Purushottam Mas, the whole pastime of Purushottam Mas, Krishna gives that month, the extra month, His name. And He says that, this is my month. So, He actually expands. Similarly, Damodar Mas, that is His month, Krishna's month, right? So, you know, it is said that Purushottam Mas is very very merciful, but it is said that Damodar Mas is more powerful. Because Purushottam Mas comes once in 4 years, Damodar Mas comes every year. And it is very, very unique. And the Skanda Puran says that, you know, out of all the months, this month of Damodar or this month of Kartik is very special, right? And the presiding deity, they say it is Radharani's special month. The word Kartik comes from the word Kritika Kumari, which is also the name of Srimati Radharani. And Kritika comes from the word Kirtida, because Kirtida is the mother of Srimati Radharani. So Kartik is actually the name of Srimati Radharani. So, there is a very, very special month of Srimati Radharani. And of course, Krishna and Srimati Radharani are very happy in this month. Right? If somebody is very happy, you know, it is, you know, like for sometimes on his birthday, even if you do some mistake, people say, Chodo yaar, aaj birthday, maaf kiya. Like in the Vedic times, there was a king, he was sitting on a royal throne. And somebody comes and tells the good news. Sir, my dear king, you know, you have delivered, your wife has delivered a baby, And we have seen in the television, he becomes so happy, he'll take out his necklace. Mubarak ho, lelo. You know, he becomes so happy. Similarly, this month is a very special month. So any activity performed in devotion has great, great benefits. Right? So we'll just try to list out some of the important pastimes which happened in this month of Kartik. The first began with the Rasa Leela or the Sharad Purnima festival. So we on the full moon day, Krishna invites all the gopis. He plays the fifth note underneath the Vata Vriksha, the Vamsi Vata. And he invites all the gopis, all of them, they leave everything and comes. The highest kind of surrender has been exhibited here by the gopis. Because they knew that if we go and somebody knows that we are with Krishna, you know, their life is going to be ruined. They have taken such great advantage. They have taken such great risk. And after coming to Krishna, Krishna is saying, why did you come? I didn't call you. Go back. And then they say, you know, how can you do like that? We left everything to see you and be with you. And you're saying, go back. And Krishna is testing them. And finally Krishna has that rasa dance. And he expands himself to all the gopis. And then that whole rasa dance or the rasa leela happens on that day. The Sharad Rutu, the Sharad Purnima. Then of course, the Damodar Leela. This pastime is so great that for whole month we are talking about it. We are remembering this pastime. Can you imagine the glory of Mother Yashoda? She is able to bind the person who is unbound. And the glory of Mother Yashoda is such that there are so many pastimes happened this month, but one pastime has dominated everything, and that is the Damodar Leela. And every morning, evening, in many temples, we have Damodar Astakam. We are glorifying this beautiful Leela. And what is this Leela? Krishna is afraid. Krishna is crying. Krishna is running. Krishna is caught. Krishna is about to be punished. Just imagine, you know, a great, great personality. And you know, you're talking about his attributes. He's afraid. He's crying. You know, he'll felt embarrassed. Yaar, yaar, kya bol raha hai? Yaar, chodo, yaar, wo, ho gaya, ho gaya. But herein, Krishna is happy that all these things has been happened. And then Govardhan Puja. You know, Krishna crushed the pride of Indra. That is Govardhan Puja. Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill for 7 days and seven nights. And each of them, they were like seeing only Krishna. And they had a great festival. Then comes the Gopashtami festival. Now, Krishna used to take care of the calves. But at one point of time, he felt that now I should take care of the cows. Because the cows actually go deep in the forest for grazing. Right? And when the cows can go, he can also go. And then in the kunjas and the groves, he can meet the gopis. So he had that desire. So then he tells, somehow he inspires Gargamuni. And Gargamuni comes on this day, on the day of Ashtami, and he tells Nanda Maharaj, today is an auspicious day. Today you should give the charge of the cows to Krishna. And Nanda Maharaj says, really? Ah, today is the best day. And he goes. And Krishna comes. Suna na? So now from today. So he says, okay. So Gopashtami is that day where Krishna is given the charge of the cows. Then the Bahulashtami. Of course, Bahulashtami, they say that, you know, it happened in the Chaitra time. But then of course, for years we have been celebrated Bahulashtami. So it's a very, very special day. And of course, it is said that 68,000 Tirthas came and then they bowed down at Krishna's feet, and that became the Shamakund. And then later on, Shrimati Radharani said that, no, we will make our own kund. And then Krishna says, okay. And then Radharani and all the gopis, they start digging with their ornaments, the kangan, that's what's called as kangan kund. And then later on, all these tirthas, they start begging at the feet of Radharani that please allow us to serve. And then she says, okay. And the Radha Kund is made. So appearance day of Radha Kund or the Bahula Ashtami is said. And it is said that anyone who comes in contact with the water of Radha Kund on that day, he goes back home, back to Godhead. So that has been described here. And also we celebrate Tulsi Vivaha. It is an auspicious day where Krishna, you know, or Shaligram is married with Tulsi. So that is also there. And then the end is the Bhishma Panchak. So many devotees do Bhishma Panchak. But actually, why it is called Bhishma Panchak? Because Bhishma Dev did this Vrat for 5 days. And the reason he did this Vrat was that he wanted the darshan of Krishna. He was actually on the arrow, bed of the arrows. And he was about to leave his body. But that was that time where he did this Vrata so that as soon as possible he can get the darshan of Krishna. So that Bhishma Panchak is there and many devotees do fasting. And it is there that one who does this 5 days of Bhishma Vrata, he gets the credit of doing all the whole 4 months of Chaturmasya. It is said that Akrura came in Kartik. And he actually came here, offered his prayers like that. It is said that Matsya Avatar also appeared in this month of Kartik, right? And he protected the Vedic scriptures and the sages like that. And of course, the founder of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada, it is his disciplines day in this month, 14th November 1977 evening. Srila Prabhupada not just lived, he not just showed us the art of living a Krishna conscious life, but he also showed the art of dying in a holy place, in a holy environment, in perfect Krishna consciousness. So that has been explained here. And it is said that the Leela of Vaman Dev and Bali Maharaj also happened in this month of Kartik. And Dhruv Maharaj got the darshan in the month of Kartik. We go to Madhuvan. And Madhuvan, there is Dhruva Teela. There, the Lord gave him the darshan. So that also happened in the Kartik. It is said that Amrish Maharaj and Durvas Muni episode also happened in Vrindavan. And that too in this month of Kartik. There is also a place in Vrindavan called Amrish Teela where this happened. And then the episode of the Samudra Manthan also happened in Kartik. And if you see the calendar, that in the Samudra Manthan, the first thing comes out is Mother Lakshmi. And the Lakshmi Pujan is in Diwali. Then Dhanvantari. Dhanteras is there. And Dhanvantari appearance is there. Then Mohini Murti also appeared in this time. Right? It is said that Tulsi also appeared in this time. One of the devotees was speaking. He says that Tulsi Devi, it appeared because the demons and the demigods, they were doing the Samudra Manthan, and when Dhanvantri comes with this nectar pot and seeing that so much effort has been put by both the parties, somehow he felt compassion and tears came from his eyes, and that tears mixed with the nectar, somehow that gave appearance of the Tulsi. That's why Tulsi has bhakti aspect and also the healthy aspect. So that has been described here. So that's why in this month, worshipping Tulsi and offering parikrama to Tulsi and offering lamps with Tulsi stick, it has thousands and thousands of times. And that too in Vrindavan. So that is the Tulsi. And also Naraka Chaturdashi comes, Krishna kills Narakasur. That also happens in this month. And this month is the month of Damodar. And Rupa Goswami, he carved personally the Damodar, Radha Damodar deities in 1542. And that deities were also installed in the month of Kartik. So this whole month is a very special month. So Let us offer our heartfelt month offerings to the Lord and remember His beautiful pastime this month. So thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Rantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Kartik Mash ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Dai Gaur Premanandi.